Amen. Good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor Craig. You guys are really blessed to have such an amazing team serving in this church. Amen. I just want to say every time I come here, I tell this to Craig every time, but you guys make the invitation who's here for the first time. I should actually put up my hand every time because every time I come here, it feels like the first time for me and for my wife. Your church, your home, your family is beautiful. It's beautiful to see that the pastor, if he's not here, is serving behind a sound desk. It's encouraging. And it's encouraging to see this worship team just give it their all. And I just want to tell the worship team, Santi, Franz, you guys, this morning, thank you for blessing us. I personally know the time and the effort that goes into preparing for this, say, 20, 30 minutes standing here. It's so much more than that. And I just want to honor you guys as well for that. So, yeah, I'm not just going to stand here and thank everyone this morning. I have a message to deliver to you guys. As Craig said, as Craig built me up, no pressure, Craig. So please receive it well. I just also want to pray for us before I continue. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you that, yes, we are your church, Lord, but we are in your church building today, Father, and we pray that you will come and meet with every heart here today. Holy Spirit, come and impart your love, your wisdom, your guidance in every heart, every soul here today. May we be drawn into who you are, Lord. May we become more like you. And I pray, Lord, that we will hear your truth, that we will hear your word, not man's word or man's revelation, but that we will hear from the revelation of God today as we grow closer to you. And we give you the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have a message that I'm going to share today, and the title of my message is Perspective. So it's something that I shared. So back home in Shofar and Manes, I pastor the youth and the worship teams, and we recently had a worship camp just before, well, it was actually in the holidays. We had a youth worship camp, our winter camp, and we had this theme, focus, and the whole concept of this theme was to be more focused on the Lord, obviously. But in today's day and age, we live in a society where the world is constantly fighting for our attention, constantly fighting to pull us away from the things that we should keep our minds on, we should keep our attention on and our focus on. And that was the whole concept of this. And my message, Perspective, today, I pray that it will help us to see this as we behold the Lord, as we continue this life together, that we have a choice. We sang this morning that first song, Yes, I Will, I think it was called. Yeah, Yes, I Will. I hear it so many times on the Christian radio stations. Yes, I will lift you up in the lowest valleys, in the highest. Yeah. Any case, the concept of it and all the songs we sang this morning so beautifully explains is it's a heart's choice that we have as God's sons and daughters to choose to see the right thing, to choose to behold Him, to choose to behold who He is in our lives. Looking at a blank canvas and in 20 minutes, someone beholds that blank canvas and it turns into to that beautiful piece of art that we see right there. I'm just in awe of that. And I just give God the glory for blessing people. I've got two main scriptures that I'm going to focus on mostly this morning, but I'm going to diverge in between different scriptures in the Bible. But the first scripture that I have, before I read that, I actually want to do this. I've got a piece of paper here. Just a blank piece of paper, like that canvas was. Blank piece of paper. Now I'm just going to make a little dot on it. Because I don't know if you can see it, but there's a little dot there. Okay, so I just for a few moments, in your own way of thinking now, just look at that dot. Okay? Behold that dot. Okay? Don't you see it? It's there. Okay? This is not a trick. I'm not going to do a trick. There's a koliki also. Just for a few moments, just look at that dot and just think, what are you perceiving? What does it mean? I just made a dot on that piece of paper. What is it that you see? What is it that you feel? It can be anything. Be creative. Just think about it for a few moments. Maybe share with someone next to you what you think it means. Just say with someone. Okay. So you guys aren't youth, so I'm not going to ask you to shout out popcorn answers. That might be chaotic. Although I did laugh when Dion tried to call you all in when the service starts, because I also do that at youth. Mine just takes a bit longer. But usually what happens is when we look at this perspective, we always put some sort of a connotation to that dot. That's me. That dot is me in this world, or the dot represents maybe a sin in my life, or is the vastness of all around us and I am there in the middle, whatever it is. But usually, it's always about the dot. I made a dot on the paper, and our focus is usually always about the dot. And very, very seldomly, we actually just focus on the big white area around it. Most of us sitting here, I'm not going to ask, but I'm sure most of us, the first time I did this, you put some sort of an analogy or a picture on that dot. But that's the perspective that I want us to look at today, is the bigger picture that surrounds this dot. Okay, so whatever that dot means to you. So I want to read for us from Exodus 16, from verse 1 to 8. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If we only died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat around the pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve the entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from the heavens for you. The people are to go out each day, gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that it is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him." "Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said. "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but grumbling against the Lord." As you can see, we have a situation here where it is so easy for us to focus. If we look at the Israelites, they were focusing on the situation that they were in. The instance where they was hungry, they were used to a standard of living, and they were used to having more than enough. They lost perspective in a moment, and they grumbled, and they moaned, and they complained against the Lord. And many times in this day and age, how does that look like in our lives, our perspective? We forget what the Lord has done for us. We forget where the Lord has taken us from. And we're focusing on this area now. And that's kind of the concept that I want to build this message on. That's the perspective I want us to start seeing and start perceiving in our hearts. Because sometimes we need to stop and we need to zoom out. We need to recalibrate. We need to focus. And you're going to hear those words a lot today. Focus, recalibrate, perspective. Because I truly feel the Lord wants to open eyes. He wants to open the eyes of our hearts today, so that we can really and truly behold him in everything that we do. Another instance or another story that I want to share with you is from David. Now, for those of you that don't know beloved David in the Bible, famous little shepherd boy who slayed a giant, okay? So David eventually became one of the most successful kings of a unified Israel. Filled with courage and faith in God, he killed the lion, he killed the bear, he slayed the giant, where the Israel army saw the little dot, David saw the bigger picture, and he killed Goliath. So David was at a place in his life where he had everything. He grew up to be a very successful king. He had wealth, he had riches, he had territory, he had everything. The Lord's hand was on him, was on his life, was on his ministry. But there was a time in David's life when even he lost perspective, when even he lost focus. And I'm going to read from 2 Samuel 11, verse 1 to 4. And then I'm going to add verses 14 to 16. In the spring, at the time when kings went off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, there he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanliness, and then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it to Uriah. In the letter he wrote, "Put Uriah out in front where the fighting is the fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." So while Joab was in the city under siege, he put Uriah at that place. He knew the strongest defenders were there. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. So David, very wealthy, very respected, very successful king, the Lord's hand was on him. He believed in the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He was the hero amongst heroes. In an instant, loses perspective. In an instant, he forgets God's hand on his life. He forgets what God has done, what God has taken him through, and he allows his own selfish desires to come between him and God. By not only sleeping with a man's wife, but also having the husband murdered. He lost complete perspective. Now, it might sound very hectic for some of us. Yeah, we've never done anything like that. We've never had an adulterous relationship. We've never murdered someone. But how many times have we ourselves lost focus of the bigger picture in our lives? How many times in our lives have we put our own desires, our own needs before anything else, and we only come to realize that that actually brings division and separates us from the glory and the purpose and the will that God has actually in store for us, that life in abundance. We say sometimes that we feel far from God. We've all heard this. We've all felt this. We've all said this at some point in our lives. I know I have many times. Well, I say, "Lord, I feel far from you. I don't hear your voice anymore. I don't see your hand in my life anymore." But are my ears full of the noise of this world, or am I really hearing what the Lord is saying to me? We feel alone from God. We feel distant from him at times. But do we submit to our circumstances? Do we submit to the world's way of thinking when we are faced with challenging situations, when we are faced with trials, tribulations? Or do we submit to the Word of God? Do we truly seek His counsel? Do we truly trust the Holy Spirit as we face every situation? Or we just go head on without even bringing it before the Lord? You see, there are times that I went through challenges myself and I felt distant from the Lord. But the more I go in retrospect and I revisit those situations, the more I saw that it was me that was moving away from the Lord. I was placing things in the way of my relationship with God. Now, a few points that I want us to consider, just looking at these two stories, and I'm going to go back and forth to a few other stories that we have in the Bible, is the first one is that our own desires can lead us to feel distant and removed from the Lord's presence. If we look at the Israelites, they were groaning. The groaning and the hunger and the moaning caused them to complain to Aaron because they were used to a certain standard of living. They were used to a certain way of life. And in that moment, forgetting, again, as I said, what God has brought them through. So for those of you that have kids, I have two boys. And many times, if I speak about a standard of living, we had the school holidays, and in the school holidays, obviously, I was still working, and my wife was always busy at the home, also doing stuff, working. She's working from home, so we can't always give all our attention to the kids. So we give them a little bit more free rein when it comes to the PlayStation. They play FIFA. They like to play soccer. So they have, it's holiday, they worked hard, they got their good grades, now they can play a little soccer, okay? We do control it though, but not as much in the holiday. Now the school starts again and we get them back in routine. I've got a beautiful app on my phone where I can restrict their access, I can restrict the time that they play. And as soon as they found that out, they were used to the standard of living. You would have thought I ended their world. It felt to them as if everything crumbled in. It felt like the end of their existence, the way that they manifested. Okay. Used to a certain standard of living. Now faced with restricted way of living. More obedience is required, more sacrifice is required of us, more discomfort is required of us. But forgetting the fact that we have this blessing, forgetting the fact that we have this privilege, the Israelites forgetting the fact that God made a way for them to come out of almost 400 years of slavery, made a way through the ocean. In that instance, it's about me. Woe is me. In an instant, if we look at David's life as well, our own desires, we see the Lord's hand upon us, the Lord's purpose and plans for us. He has all of this abundance, all this white area around the dot. It's there, and in an instant, in a moment, we just bring it all together, and it's just about me, standing here, focusing on me. We forget about the bigger picture, and we forget about what God has done in our lives, and we forget about what God is still busy doing in our lives, because we forget who he is and we focus on where we are. In an instant, David's lust, David's own selfish desires, losing focus and perspective on God's hand, on his entire life, caused him to stumble. Focusing on our desires causes a division. Our own selfish desires can sometimes cause that division between us and the Lord, where we totally lose perspective of what he has done in our lives, because we want the quick benefit. We want the gratification that we so desperately need now in this instance. And sometimes we don't think clearly of the things that we do, the decisions that we make. We just make them because we feel it needs to be made now so that we can get out of this discomfort. Instead of going to the one who has already taken us through the sea, instead of going to the one who has already provided for us, who's given us meat at night and bread in the mornings. Focusing on our desires can lead for us to feel that we are distant and away from God's presence. The consequences of David's actions actually led him to write Psalm 51, and you can go read it. It's extremely sad. It's a very sorrowful psalm. It ends wonderfully with him repenting of his ways. But it's a very sad psalm, and I'm just going to quote verse 11. And this is truly what David felt. Remember David, a man after God's own heart. This is what he felt. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. That must be the loneliest feeling in the world. Focusing on our desires can lead us to feel the Lord's presence is distant from us. Many times we are faced with choices. We are faced with making decisions in our lives that we feel we're just not hearing the Lord. Where is he? Is this his way of speaking to me? We sometimes say this thing, the Lord, by not answering us, he's answering us. Or are we truly sitting down and thinking, what is causing us to be distant from him? What am I doing in my life? What am I not doing in my life to hear his voice? If we look at the story of the rich young ruler, and it's not a parable, it's a story. This guy came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I'm going to read the whole scripture now, but basically how it ends up with is Jesus tells him he has to sell everything that he has and he has to give it to the poor. And then he walks away. His desires came between a relationship between him and Jesus. In Mark 10 verse 22, it says, after Jesus told him what he must do, he said, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That is such a sad story, such a sad reality that we cannot part from our comforts. We cannot part from our lack of way of living sometimes, our high standard, the things that we used to, the meat pots that we were used to. We cannot surrender that. And here we actually see this causes a man to walk away from a relationship with the Messiah. And that brings me to my next point, point two. We will be tested in our times of focus. Because if we read that verse in Mark 10 of the rich young ruler, I want to read it in its entirety for us quickly. From Mark 10, verse 17 to 22, it says, "Now as he was going out on the road," this is Jesus, "one man came running and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not commit murder.'" David failed those in one go. "Do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, do not honor your father and mother." That verse I read about three times every time I read it to my kids. Honor your father and your mother, honor your father and your mother. "And he answered and he said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.'" This guy had a good life. He did all the right things. "And then Jesus looked at him," and this jumped out at me. "And then Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come up and take the cross and follow me.'" Take up the cross and follow me. "But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." The Lord in his loving kindness extends his mercy to us every single day. And his grace is abundant to us. I sometimes wake up in the mornings and as I go through the day, I just don't understand how a God that is so infinite, so perfect, so holy, so pure, so blameless can love me the way that I am, the state that I am. And I see myself many times as this rich young ruler. I don't live a very bad life. I am by far perfect, by far, like most of us here. But there are people out there that do many worse things than me. But I put myself under the whole umbrella of humanity. I don't understand how God can love us. I don't understand sometimes that God has this way of drawing near to us and in love still try to help us. But the more I've grown in Christ, the more I've grown in my relationship with him over the years, I've come to realize that is exactly who he is. That is his character. And it makes such perfect sense that we need him on this earth. The Lord in his loving kindness extends his mercies to us. But he makes sure that he checks our hearts in this process, that we truly trust him and not the world, that we truly put our trust and faith into his provision and not worldly accumulations or achievements. Our faith is tested. If we look at Matthew 6, verse 21, it's not on there, but it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart is." This is what the Lord tells us. These instructions to the Israelites in Exodus, that same scripture we started off with in verse 4 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. I'm going to provide. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them to see whether they follow my instructions.'" If we change our perspective, the perspective that we take, that we look at in that change, in that looking and beholding the Lord's glory, in trusting him, the Lord is going to challenge us at certain stages to see where our hearts are at, just like he did with the rich young ruler, just like he did with the Israelites. At the multiplication of the two fish and the five loaves with his disciples, Jesus actually, he did this amazing thing in Mark 30, verse 35 to 38. I want to encourage you to go read that in depth, and you'll just see that Jesus is teaching so much in the build-up to the multiplication. The biggest miracle for me is actually how he speaks to the disciples and what happens in their lives. That, for me, is profound. From verse 35, it says, "When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, all the people that were there, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now Jesus, in typical Jesus fashion, uses the opportunity. But he answered them and said, you give them something to eat. Jesus was testing their faith. We know the testing of our faith produces perseverance, and it produces patience, as it says in James 1. But it's truly in these times of testing, it's truly in these times of seeking the Lord, trusting Him, not knowing what the outcome is, not seeing the provision, not seeing the beautiful picture that is not there yet. But in that place, trusting Him, it's truly in that relationship, as we follow Him, as we continue to behold Him, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of what we want, it's truly in those times that we see the Lord's hand in our lives, knowing that we are not in control of any given situation. It produces a resilience on God in our lives, in our hearts. It produces a resilience and a trust for that unseen resolve or that breakthrough that we so desperately are praying for. There's nothing that keeps us closer to the Lord than when we go through a challenge, than when we go through a trial. But in that trial, we continue to behold Him. We continue to trust Him. Because when the breakthrough comes, He gets all the glory for it. It builds our faith. We've all been there. Some of us are there now. Some of us are in the middle of this storm. Some of us are in the middle of this place where we only see the dot. We cannot see the perspective. We cannot see what's going on around the dot. We are here now. And I want to encourage you today. I trust the Lord wants to come and open the eyes of many hearts here today. He wants to come and tell you, I am there. The picture is there. It is there. We just have to trust Him. We have to trust that He is faithful. He is the God that provides in abundance. He gives enough. He's in control. He's so perfect. He's the absolute master planner, master architect. Because if you read even in the provision of the Israelites, the manna, He gave them twice. He told them to gather twice as much on the 6 day so that they can rest on the Sabbath. He provided for them. If you continue to read that scripture, He tells them not to gather too much, not to store it up, not to be greedy, because that which was stored up was rotten. It turned it full of maggots and it was rotten. And the Lord gives us just enough. We have to obey Him and we have to trust Him. Our perspective, this is point number three, has consequences. The choice that we make, whether we choose the right perspective or the wrong perspective, to focus on the right thing or the wrong thing, there's going to be a consequence. There will be an outcome. If we focus on our problems, moaning and groaning and complaining, and by the way, this morning I actually wanted to open up with a little lighthearted joke, but I was very excited when I got up this morning and I planned everything, and I was prepared for the load shedding to happen in Armonas, and then it didn't. And then I knew it was going to be a good day today. There was no load shedding. I don't know if you guys also expected load shedding and it didn't happen. We can so easily complain about stage 4 load shedding. We can choose to complain about stage 4 load shedding, and we will be sad. We will feel the consequences. We will see everything that is connected with it. It's dark. My house is cold. The geyser is cold. Everyone is just miserable. Or we can choose to see stage 4 quality time with our family. Stage 4 precious quiet time with the Lord. Stage 4 time to spend more time to develop a hobby or an art that can develop into something profound. We can choose to our perspective. We can see, we can choose what we want to see, but there's going to be consequences. We're going to moan and groan, or we can grow closer to the Lord. If we lose focus on God's instruction, like with the Israelites, the manna gets rotten. The consequences of David's misplaced focus was very severe. If we continue to read in 2 Samuel, the son that his wife would bore eventually died. It's a very sad story. And you can go read on it. He fasted. The child became ill. David fasted and prayed for days. Very sad, very sorrowful, yet very powerful how David came through this and reconciled. And I feel this is a word for someone here today, just to go really just study that part of David's life. Just go and study that part. There were consequences of his actions. We have an incredible book. The Bible is full of incredible instructions on choosing the right perspective. Almost every single thing Jesus said, in some way or another, we can bring to the fact of perspective, choosing to see the right thing, choosing to be obedient, choosing to focus on Him. But there's a scripture in Romans 6:23 where Paul writes to the Roman church, and I've used this scripture so many times because it is so powerful. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wages is something that we work at. Something that you work at and you get a payment. You get wages when you work. It's something we really strive for. It's something that we do in our lives that we work at. And the wages of sin is death. Choosing, in other words, choosing the wrong thing ends up in death. It might not be a physical death. It might be, but it's absolutely a spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There's nothing we could do to deserve it. He gave it to us because He loves us. I always use this analogy when I speak about salvation and the gift of God is Christ Jesus. If it's your birthday, what did you do to be born? Nothing. Then why do we receive gifts? Because people love us. Because people care for us. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, because what He has done for each one of us sitting here today in this building, in this church, each one of us here today has a reason to sing. If you stepped in here today and you felt like, I don't belong here, I don't want to be here, I don't really feel like being here, well, I'm sorry to say, you have a reason to rejoice. You have a reason to be happy, because someone paid a price with his life for your life, for my life, for all of our lives. And that's a gift. And that's a gift I want. I don't know about you, but that's a gift that I want. Choosing the perspective has consequences. Our needs can so easily consume our thoughts, our feelings, and eventually it leads to our behaviors. What we think and feel eventually leads to how we act out. And when we focus on the fire that surrounds us, we forget to focus on the one who is in the fire with us. I want to say that again. If we continue to focus on the fire that surrounds us, my world is burning down, we forget about the one that is in the fire with us. And not just with us, going to take us through the fire, unscorched, not even smelling of smoke. That is the God that we serve. When Jesus did the multiplication miracle of the two fish and the five loaves, the disciples' reasoning was worldly. The only way they thought possible for these people to get fed is if they take the pressure off themselves and just send them out so that they can sort themselves out with food. By sending the people away, they can go sort themselves out for supper and everyone will be happy. In the meantime, they had the way who prepared for them a way in abundance right there with them. Point number four that I want to speak about is that the Lord provides. As I said earlier, sometimes I'm just so astounded by the fact that God loves us, that God loves me. I believe it with my whole heart. Nothing will ever change that. It's just something I constantly try to fathom. But His ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I thank God for that. And He loves us. He chose us. Each one of us in this place today, He chose us. And He will provide. God in His loving mercy forgave David and Bathsheba. And they got another son, Solomon. David's son and successor, the wise King Solomon, known for his great wisdom, his wealth. He wrote three books in the Bible, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Songs. God provides, and he just doesn't just provide, he provides in abundance. And I want to reiterate it again. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm just getting by. I'm just getting enough. I've just got enough. But it constantly feels like a battle. God knows what abundance looks like in our lives. What we think, what we feel, what we see as abundance is not the same as what God sees. He knows our thoughts. He prepared the way for us long before we were even born. So he knows exactly what abundance looks like in our lives. If we read John 10 verse 10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Because of what Jesus did, and by believing in what he has done for us on the cross, living, dying, and being resurrected for us, we have this abundance available to us. And if you go read that word abundantly in John 10 verse 10, the Greek translation, which is amazing, it actually means, it says perissos. It's not up there. The word is called perissos. And the complete description of that word abundance translates to superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse, extraordinary, more than sufficient. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that provides for us. When we change our focus from a worldly focus onto a kingdom heavenly focus, heavenly perspective over every situation, he provides for us in abundance. My last point that I want to get to is our main focus should be Jesus. Again, we started with this concept of woe is me. We feel far from him. We feel, where are you, Lord? Where are you in this time that I'm struggling with? We say we feel far from him, but are we truly stopping to behold the cross? Are we truly listening to his voice? Are we just here because it's the right thing to do? Or is there something in our hearts that are drawing near to him, that are saying, Lord, today I choose to bow down to you? Because to bow down to something means to surrender, to be in discomfort. And that takes a little bit of a focal change in our lives. And I want to encourage each one of us here today. It's in those times that we choose to behold him, that we choose to behold Jesus. Sometimes it might be difficult. Sometimes it might be uncomfortable. You're going to have to make the difficult choice, which is the right choice, and you know it, but it's going to cost you. Like the rich young ruler counted the cost, and he saw, no, it's not a price I'm worth paying. Sometimes when we trust the Lord, it's going to take a little bit of giving up of what we have. But I want to encourage you, and I want to just say this again. Choosing Jesus will end in a life of abundance. We don't feel that connection to God because we separate ourselves from him by allowing our circumstances, allowing the things of this world to come and minister to us, allowing the things of this world to dictate our thoughts. I'm done with this government. I'm done with this power crisis, the rand this and the school that and the winter this and the whatever this and the whatever that. And those things start to change not only the way we think and feel, but the way that we start to behave, the way that we start to live our lives. We don't feel a connection to God because we are not allowing the things that moves his heart to move our hearts. We have to count the cost, and we have to come to that place where we say, Lord, I'm done with this. I'm done with this life, looking at the things of this world, believing every lie, turning on my radio and listening in depth to what's all wrong in this country. I want to choose you. I want to see the good in every situation. I want to trust you. We jokingly spoke about it this morning. Francie spoke about sometimes when you play a keyboard and you can feel a little bit overwhelmed. And things can happen. Things can go wrong. Many times in my life, as I was leading worship in our church, things have gone horribly wrong. A string would break. My guitar would go out of tune. Something would happen. The power went out. In fact, at this winter camp that we had, the very last night, we were busy in the middle of an altar call. And the power went out. The generator kind of almost blew up. But the generator didn't work. In this crucial, sensitive space, I could have chosen one of two things. I could have chosen to submit to it, feel bad, feel angry, and allow that to dictate the way that I continued that night. Just like many of us are facing circumstances in our lives, we can choose that the circumstances dictate the way we approach and go through this challenge, or we can rise above or go down on our knees, which is the same thing. And we can say, Lord, I choose you in this instance. We trust the Lord and we give it to Him, and He uses it. And guess what? He gets the glory. Amazing testimony that happened at that camp is everything went quiet, and everyone was aware of this dot. Everyone again was on the dot. And then the Lord in that moment just spoke to all of us in the worship team. I plugged my guitar out. Praise the Lord, my guitar still makes sounds when it's unplugged. And I got up and I stood on the sub, it's about this high. And I stood on that thing and I was going like that. And I was shouting and my voice was gone, but I was shouting because I was not going to allow the enemy to dictate my thoughts, my feelings and my behaviors in an instant where the Lord can come and do something amazing. In an instant where the Lord is busy moving, I'm choosing to see and behold Him, that He is busy working in this time. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal that. And guess what? God got the glory. Children got saved. They surrendered their lives to the Lord. It wasn't easy. My voice was shot the next day. I was tired. I almost fell. I didn't care. Because I knew the one that is much bigger than me. I knew the one that is around this dot. In spite of our circumstances, Jesus never focused on the dot. He never focused on Himself. He knew that the focus was never on Him, but on the Father. In John 4, verse 30 to 34, we read, they came out of the town, and this is just after Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. And the disciples went to get food, and they came back, and they saw Him sitting there, and they said, they came out of town, and they made their way toward Him. Meanwhile, His disciples urged Him, Rabbi, eat something. But He said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then His disciples said to each other, could someone have brought Him food? Not aware of who He truly is yet completely. And then Jesus tells them, my food, said Jesus, is to the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Jesus knew where His perspective was. He knew where He was supposed to focus on. In Philippians 2 verse 8, Paul writes to the Philippian church, and being found in appearance as man, speaking about Jesus, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, I don't know about you, but that is probably the ultimate perspective, eternal perspective. By humbling Himself, by becoming obedient unto death, that is complete determination and focus on the Father. The writer in Hebrews 12 verse 2 tells us that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He went through it. Focusing on the Father. Jesus knew His road ahead. He had every reason. He had all the reason in the world to lose focus. We think our problems are big sometimes. Imagine knowing that you have this mandate upon you to do what Jesus has done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood, so anxious He became because of what He has to do. Yet He chose to focus on the Father. Yet He chose to remain focused, to go through this because He knew the Father had a plan. He remained obedient unto death. Can I ask two volunteers to just help me quickly? Francie, kan jy en Santi sommer gaan hierna toe kom? Jesus knew where his focus was. Sy lyn vir my daai so kan opbou. It's not perfect. I apologize. There's our dot. This is our focus. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. Julle kan dit neersit. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And as we stand, let's close our eyes. If you guys can maybe play us something in the background. Just for a few moments. Let's close our eyes. It's ironic. A sermon about perspective, and I'm asking you to close your eyes. To not focus on anything. When we close our eyes, I want us to bring our thoughts and our hearts, our minds. Let's quiet ourselves down before the Lord. And just where you are now, let's just behold him for a few moments. Just see the cross. If that is you this morning and you feel maybe something that you've heard that the Lord has shown you, or that you just perceive in your heart in some way or another, you feel that you are in the midst of this vastness, you are that dot, or you are focusing on that dot, and you are struggling to see that the Lord is here with you and that he is so much more. So much bigger than that problem that you are facing. If that is you this morning, I want to invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to come and minister to your heart now. As we continue to behold the cross, as we continue to behold what the Lord has done for each one of us standing in this place today. In 1 John 4 verse 4, we read, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I want to read it again in John 16. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, because in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome this world. Father, help us today to choose you, to choose a heavenly perspective in every situation. Help us, Lord, to have great confidence in our daily coming and going, Lord, because of who you are. Because you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God who parted the seas. You are the God who quieted the storms. You are the God who overcame death. And you are our God. You are my God. You're each one of us standing here. Your Holy Spirit resides in us. So I want to make an invitation this morning. I'm going to make two invitations. And the first one is, while we remain focused on the Lord, is if you've never really made this choice of surrendering your life to Jesus, to surrender your life to the Lord, who paid the price for us, who gave this undeserved grace to us through what he has done on that cross. If you want to surrender your life completely to him today, I want to make an invitation. If you can just put your hand up quickly, you don't have to keep it up. You can just put it up quickly and you can put it down again. Thank you. I see that hand. If Father, I thank you for that hand that went up. Father, thank you that it was so worth it today to be in this place, Lord, for that one hand that went up today. Maybe some of us here today, Lord, we feel a bit afraid still to put up our hands, but you know our hearts. You know who we are, Lord. So we thank you for each individual that chooses you, that chooses to behold you in the midst of their lives, in the midst of where they are now, that they say, I want that gift of God that is eternal life. So Lord, I pray that you will become a reality in that person's heart that put up his hand. Lord, I pray that you will become so real to him and that your love will overflow in that person's life, Lord, that they will experience you, that they will feel you, that they will grow in you, Lord, and come to realize and see that this is the best decision I've ever made in my life. I pray, Lord, that you will become a real revelation to every instance that person faces, to every situation that person goes into, Lord, that they will behold the cross and see that you are truly real and that you've truly been here all along. For every heart here, Lord, today surrendering to you, I pray, Lord, for that. And then I want to make another invitation today. For many of us going through this life, we are fallible human beings. We are not perfect. We are far from it. Yet sometimes we really try. And I want to make this invitation to those of you that are here today that feel you are distant from the Lord, that feel you are not hearing His voice, that feel you are not beholding Him in this very instance. You are struggling to hear what He's saying. You are not understanding what you are reading in the Bible, so you're just leaving your Bible. You're just putting it away even. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come out, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand just a few moments while all our eyes are closed that I can pray for you. If that is you today and you feel you're not hearing the Lord as clearly as you used to, there was a time in your life when you heard His voice. When you were faithful, when you were on fire, you were full of zeal. You were sold out for Him, but that is not there anymore. If that is you, put your hand up just for a few moments. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, Father, for those hands. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us and that you see every hand, you hear every heart. So I pray for every hand that went up, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, come fill them with your goodness, with your peace, with your love. More than that, Lord, come and rekindle that fire, Lord. Set those hearts ablaze for your glory. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to just recalibrate our focus and behold you, behold the cross. We pray, Lord, that you will make a way for us to set aside the things of this world that are distracting us from your presence, from your glory, from who you are in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you will come and remind every heart in this place of, number one, who you are, but also what you have done in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that your word tells us you hear our prayers. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Even for us that are at a place where we truly feel we hear you and we are walking in step with you, I pray, Lord, that we will continually be reminded that we constantly need to seek you, always in every situation that we face. I pray, Lord, for renewed strength. I pray, Lord, for renewed purpose in every heart here today, in every believer's heart, Lord. Father, I pray for an urgency that we will set aside unimportant things in this world and that we will behold you and place our first and foremost focus on you and arrange the things of our world around that, putting you first again, Lord. Yes, we give you the glory today, Father, and we lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you want to say something? Sorry.
Thanks, Hendrik. Timo, can we put up the slide, the background that was his sermon slide, that of the sun? I want to leave something with us. Just remember the invitation, the next one. That I don't know if you can see that. There was no scheming here this morning. If you come and see the picture, you'll see it's reflecting the sun. And I wanna say that the invitation this week, the perspective invitation this week, is for us, as that moon rising on this painting, to reflect the sun and what he's doing. And I want us to go and read Isaiah 61, because that is what the Lord is doing. That's his perspective of what he's still doing in our midst, for us, through us, for those around us. So let's just I want to read it for us just as we close the service, bearing in mind that he's the sun, and in the sense we are the moon that reflects what he's doing and his perspective. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And where you are in your perspective, I want to invite you as well, as we close the service, if there's a cloud in front of you that you can't see what the sun is doing, don't leave here with that doubt. There will be people in the front here to my left to minister to you, so that you can trust the Lord to remove that cloud, so you can see him clearly, so your life can reflect him clearly, for your sake and those around you. So I just want to close for us. Father, we thank you for this word that has blessed us, that has challenged us, and has really drawn us to behold again your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, as we go from this place, that we would continuously, Holy Spirit, we invite you to continuously put our eyes upon Jesus for that perspective of what you are doing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord turn his face towards you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just hold on just a minute. I was going to ask Rona to just share. So we had an early morning conversation. Just if you can just give us another moment. So I just want to trust that she, just while we remain standing, it's fine, you can remain standing. She's going to share about the painting.
It thrills me to worship this way, and I'm always surprised how he comes and he confirms. It's a plain picture, but the moon has got no light of his own. He's reflecting the sun. And as we reflect the sun, there's a golden invitation: come and walk on water. Come and trust him for your miracle. And what so beautifully, he kept on talking about, he's testing you. He's testing you to trust him. And there's the invitation. And us reflecting the sun becomes a light carpet, an invitation for others to want what we've got.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.